Yeah, Father, we continue to plead the blood of Jesus over President Trump. We thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against him in judgment shall be condemned. This is his heritage as a servant of the Lord, and his righteousness is of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that you cause all of his enemies that come out against him to be defeated before his face. They come out against him one way and flee before him seven ways. Father, we thank you for protecting him and protecting the integrity of our election. Father, we hold the power of the cross and the power of the blood over this situation. Father, we cause that all secrets that have been done at night be brought to light and be confounded, and cause this to fall in our favor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. And I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. Father, we ask this day that as we look into your word, we'll get the full revelation of Jesus and who he is, so we can learn more of him, so that we can have a bigger and better revelation of him, so we can walk in more and more light. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing you need to do is stop and think about, what is your need? Remember, the Bible says that God would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Whether your need is physical, emotional, mental, social, or financial, your solution is found in a greater revelation of Jesus. See, a lot of times it's natural for people to just, if they have a physical need, to go in there and find physical promises in the Bible. You have a financial need, a lot of times we'll be drawn to study about finances and go look in the Bible for finances and find out what we have there. Sometimes if we have a mental need, sometimes we'll go find books about mental health. Sometimes we'll go in there and look and find out something about mental wellness in the Bible. But here's the thing. Your solution is found in a greater revelation of Jesus. The more you know him, the more of these things are going to flow your way. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus was speaking here. Actually, we'll go up a couple verses. We'll go to verse 14. Jesus, after he had been baptized after he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and went out into the wilderness, and there fasted for 40 days. He was tempted there all those days. Not just three big temptations, but he was tempted for that full 40 days out in the wilderness. Did you know that? The devil threw one temptation after another at him. And then he returned. Verse 14 says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they literally lost their minds. They actually took him out. They were going to throw him off a cliff. They weren't having none of that. But Jesus found himself in the Bible. Right there in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus literally found himself in the Bible. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now listen, he didn't find it outlandish. He didn't find it outlandish. And actually, he agreed with God. That is true Bible humility. To agree with God what it says about you. Sometimes, I know it's hard sometimes. When you start finding these new creation realities. One of them that's really hard for a lot of people to accept is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where it says, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That word righteousness has been so muddied and thrown around so bad. I know that you've heard that word used by unbelievers even. They'll say, well, you self-righteous hypocrite. No. When you get born again, you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing you can do about it. You can't make yourself righteous. Righteous means right standing with God. The minute you get born again, the blood of Jesus washes away your sins and you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As outlandish as it may seem, you've got to accept that. In true Bible humility, you will say that. You will say, because of the blood of Jesus, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? I can't earn it. There's nothing I can do to be good enough for it, but it's because of the blood of Jesus. Now, I am in right standing with God. You're not being prideful. You're not being haughty. You're walking in true Bible humility when you say that. When you find yourself in the Bible, agree with it. Now, Jesus found himself there. The whole town thought he lost his mind. You know, the whole town might think you lost your mind. When you say, no, I've been forgiven. I'm a new creature in Christ. I said, man, I know that guy. He's been crazy for 20 years. And now he found religion. And he says he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. You stand on that. You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus when you get born again. Amen? Now go to Luke chapter 24, verse 17. Luke chapter 24, verse 17. Says, he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have to another as you walk and are sad? They missed the lamb looking for the king. They were looking for the king. The Jews knew the Messiah was coming. And they knew that he was going to be king. But here's the thing. They were so focused on the king. They were so focused on Jesus restoring the kingdom that they missed the lamb. Now here's the thing about Christians today. They're so focused on the lamb that they missed the king. Jesus is Lord and King. And in the Bible it says that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, if he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who do you suppose the little lords are? Your little hands should be raised because you are a little lord. And the Bible also tells us that we've been made kings and priests. You're a little king. And you are a priest. Amen? What do? As a king, you decree something. You take what God says in His Word about your life. Remember, the Bible says to speak to your mountains. It says, you shall speak to this mountain, be removed, and it shall be removed. Amen? He's telling you to say something. Amen? So you say something in your prayers. You return the Word of God to Him. You turn His Word to Him. And then, after you have prayed your prayer of faith, you offer up praises to God for the answer. Amen? Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 25. And He said to them, O fool, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? See, Jesus unveiled Himself. And they missed the Lamb looking for the King. They were foolish and slow of heart because they lack knowledge. Look at verse 27. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. The lack of knowledge, they're slow to believe. Jesus expounded Himself through the Old Testament. Remember, in the Old Testament, Jesus was concealed. But in the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. One of the coolest things Jesus did, at John 10:10, He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See, for a long time, God took the blame for a lot of things that happened. You know, when somebody would have a terrible tragedy, they'd say, God did this to me. Now, it's in the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, according to the law, if you broke the law, then that curse was available to you. Amen? But Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Okay? Jesus got on the cross and took that curse, the curse that was meant for us. And he put us into a whole new covenant, a covenant of grace. Now, as a Christian, you have to understand John 10:10. That's a dividing line. If it's killing, stealing, and destroying, that's the devil. But yet we have Christians running around all over the world, all over the country, saying, you know, God took my baby because he needed another angel. Preachers will say stuff like that. God needed another angel. Did you know that if you were to become an angel, that would be a demotion? You're not going to become an angel. You don't get a set of wings when you go to heaven. You know, that doesn't happen. I've heard people say, God gave me this sickness to teach me a lesson. You got to understand something about God. He is 100% pure light. Absolutely pure light. In Him there is no darkness. There's no shadow or turning. Nothing. He's pure light. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no curse in heaven. If God was to give you a sickness to teach you a lesson, where is He going to get it from? The best thing you can do is to understand John 10:10. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's from the devil. So align yourself up with God. Get on His side. Said, God didn't do this to me. Now, I might have gone and poked the curse. I probably went and poked the curse. Just go ahead and say it. I pulled the curse down around my ears with the words of my mouth or my actions. God didn't do it to me. The devil, he had a hand in it. But God's on my side. I'm going to get back over here where I'm supposed to be, where He put me, under His wings and in His protection. And I'm going to fight that thing off with the blood of Jesus and the Word of God and the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to fight for victory. I'm going to fight from victory ground. Jesus has already given me the victory. And the words of my mouth has caused a mess. Amen? You know Job? Remember that guy? Preachers really like to preach about him. Unfortunately, they don't preach it from the right perspective. You know, Job said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. And that's what wrecked his life. He was out there, he was afraid that his kids were being idiots. They may have been. They might have been idiots. Who knows? But he's out there doing these sacrifices every day. He said, I'm afraid that my kids are being idiots and that things are going to happen. And things happened. You know, if Job would have just went on with his covenant, you know, he had a covenant with God. If he had just operated in that covenant the way he's supposed to, God could have probably lined them idiot kids out for him. You didn't know that, did you? You can pray without being in fear. You can operate in your covenant with God without being in fear. But Job got in fear and he spoke his fears and it happened. But God brought him out of that. Amen? He brought him out of it with more and better. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 32. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? See, these guys were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus had been crucified, and they were bummed out. And Jesus came down there and walked beside them. But he was concealed. He concealed himself from knowing them. But as he talked to them, they started getting that fire on the inside of them. And then when they finally got that revelation of who he was gone. But they had that revelation in their heart of who he was. When you get that revelation in your heart of who Jesus is, not just knowing about Jesus. There's a lot of people running around that know about Jesus, but it's actually to get to know Him. See, when you actually know Jesus, you're never, ever going to support abortion. You're not going to support gay marriage. You're not going to support gay pastors. That's not going to happen. But you just know about Jesus. If you just know about Him, you can be misled in a lot of different areas. You know, I thought, I read this thing, they had 50 pastors in Washington, D.C. go down and bless Planned Parenthood. That is a classic example of people that know about Jesus, but they don't know Him. He's not in their heart. You don't have the Spirit, that witness of the Spirit inside of you. That doesn't happen. Now go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That's his word. My son, in verse 20, he said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You know something curious about the road to Emmaus? Emmaus? Emmaus means warm bath or warm springs. His words warm your heart. Remember Jesus, when he walked beside those guys on the road to Emmaus, they said, didn't it feel warming inside? You know, when you take the words of Jesus in the New Testament, the epistles, and you read those, that'll build a fire on the inside of you. That'll light your heart. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But the correct translation of that is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. See, I could read the law to you every day, and that won't give you a warm feeling in your spirit. That won't build faith in your heart. That will build fear and condemnation. That's why I took, the Ten Commandments are not hanging on any wall in here. Where? They need to go away fast. That needs to go away fast. You find 10 things that Jesus did by grace and take them down and put them up there. Ten Commandments have no place in the New Testament church. Amen? Put 10 things that Jesus did by grace up there, and then we'll get something done. I'm not aware of the being on the wall in here anywhere, but we need to go away. Jesus, his words are life. His words are life and they're health. The more you know Jesus, the more revelation you have of him, the more of these things that are going to come your way. Health, healing, wholeness, soundness, mental health, prosperity. All of it is wrapped up in Jesus. The blessing is wrapped up in Jesus. Don't go chasing the blessing. Go to the blesser. And the blessing is wrapped up inside of him. Amen? Now, go back to Luke 24, verse 13. Yeah, that's kind of a curious thing. I was shocked when I got a revelation of what happened. Jesus, or God had the Ten Commandments. He wrote them Ten Commandments on stone, gave them to Moses, and then he said, you keep them in the Ark of the Covenant. Have you ever wondered about that? He kept them in the Ark of the Covenant, out of the sight of the people, because he did not want them to have a sin consciousness. The law will give you a sin consciousness. He wants you to have a righteousness conscience. Now the church, the New Testament church, in all its wisdom, has plastered the Ten Commandments on every church wall they could find, on the courthouse lawn, everywhere they could put it, and have lawsuits. They have major fights over these Ten Commandments. And I'm saying, put the Ten Commandments back in the ark, and put 10 things Jesus did by grace out there on that lawn. Put that up on them walls. Don't build any more condemnation into people's hearts and what they already have. Paul called the law the ministry of death. We need to put Jesus out there in front of people where they can see him and his grace. So they can see, hey, this is a whole different deal. I already know I can't keep the law. If people have any couth, any honesty at all, you know, they'll say, I can't keep the law. I can't. But Jesus fulfilled the law. I call on him as my Savior, and I'm wrapped up in him. Amen? Now, I know I make mistakes, but the blood of Jesus, 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses me from all sin. My only hope for salvation is in him, not my efforts. It's wrapped up in him. He's the only one that can walk that walk. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. Now go to verse 33. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him. But what happened there, remember that little stretch of mileage they were talking about? That's 7 miles. They had a 7-mile Bible study with Jesus. They had a supernatural awakening. They walked with Jesus for 7 miles. It took them 7 miles. I don't know how fast you can walk 7 miles in. I'm not a real fast walker, but I'm not going to walk 7 miles very fast. But they had that Bible study time with Jesus from the greatest faith preacher that ever walked the face of this earth. At the end of that walk, at the end of that time, taking his words in him, they had a supernatural awakening of who Jesus is. They realized, this is him. He was concealed at the beginning, but at the end, because of his word in their heart, they knew who he was. A little bit of time in the word, the New Testament, reading and learning from Jesus. Remember, Jesus said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Amen. Forget the doctrine, forget the past. Just take the New Testament and take the epistles in. Learn of him. Learn who he is. Learn who you are. And walk in that new revelation that you get. And watch the things that happen to you physically, mentally, financially. When the Spirit of the Word strikes your heart, you're going to change. You're going to change. You're going to be taking His seed into your heart, and it will produce for you. Yeah? Sometimes you got to just take the Bible and just read it like a novel. Do it on purpose. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to figure nothing out. You don't have to chase any rabbit trails. You're just taking his word. You're just reading it in. You're just putting it in. Remember, the Holy Spirit can bring all things to remembrance, but you have to put something in there for him to bring to remembrance. You'll be surprised at what he teaches you in this. We'll finish with this one. Look at Psalms chapter 119, verse 25. My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. That's how life happens. He quickens us with his word. He makes you alive with his word. There's life in his word. When you take your word When you take His word into your heart, you're actually taking His life into you. How can you say that? That's just words. Remember in John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld Him, and we called Him Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. When you're taking His Word into your heart, you're taking Him into your heart. You're taking Him into you. You're taking His life into you, His healing into you. You're taking His resources into you. Remember, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. You bring it out with the words of your mouth. When you get born again, who moves in? Who moves into your heart when you get born again? The kingdom of God is on the inside of you. Don't be looking out there for the resources and the health and the finances that you need. Look into here where Jesus is and pray that up out of there. Put His word, put as much of His word into you as you can so that He has something to work with. Amen? I got one last one. Go to Acts chapter 14, verse 8. We'll finish with this one, I promise. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. What happened? Paul evidently was preaching the gospel somewhere. And this guy heard Paul speak. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. When you tell people about Jesus, not about church doctrine, not about the Old Testament, but when you tell people about Jesus, they respond to that. When you show them Jesus, they respond to that. Because when you show them Jesus, you're going to show them the goodness of God. And the Bible tells us that the goodness of God causes men to repent. That means they change their mind about God. When they see the goodness of God flowing through one human into another, when they see the goodness of God flowing through one person into a bad situation, making a difference, not a change, but a difference, making a difference in people's lives, people respond to that. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your words. We praise you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for everything that Jesus is doing for us now as our high priest at the right hand of God, as he makes intercession for us. We thank you for everything that Jesus will do for us when he makes our salvation complete on that glorious day. Father, we ask that we will be able to learn more from Him, learn more from the Holy Spirit, that we can be led by the Spirit of God and be the creation that you created us to be. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.